Hello, world.
This is my second podcast episode, and the first one was very much an introduction into all of the ways I identify myself, and it's kind of contradictory to, I guess, the podcasts that I have historically listened to, and kind of that general advice of like, finding your niche, but I just feel like there have got to be a lot of working mother runners out there that are juggling all of these things and might find value in my stories and my words and my thoughts and my feelings, and so I'm just committing to this idea that this podcast will take on several different themes over the course of a week. I had originally left the first episode unresolved with this last portion of my identity, which is my working identity, and I had certainly thought that I would spend today just kind of telling you the story of my career and how I got to be where I am now, what I do for a living, and I still can. It would be a much shorter story because today all that I can think about and all that I will be processing on my drive home is how hard it is to be a single income family and the added pressure that comes with being the parent who brings home that income. So I, again, didn't plan on talking about this today, but several things have happened over the course of today, and I have shed more than a couple of tears. I have found myself a little extra emotional this week with just things that have happened in life. Nothing major, just life seems to be harder for me to like digest this week. Anyways, it's not related to my menstrual cycle, if that's what you're thinking, and I'm certainly not pregnant, if that's also what you could be thinking. I don't know the cause of it. I'm just sensitive, and I'm embracing it, but also, like, wondering why. Okay, so for the very longest time, for all of our relationship, my husband and I have both been employed. The exception to that would have been when I lost my job, and it took me a couple of weeks to find a new one, which was when I graduated college. So a long time ago. But since then, we have had a double income. And so for a while, we were double income, no kids. And then we got married and we bought a house and we added two kids to the mix. And it was all hunky-dory and not well off, not financially stable, not poor, not below the poverty line, not, you know, rubbing two pennies together, not, I often hear my mother-in-law tell the story of that they were so poor at one point that something with the spaghetti, it fell out of the strainer or something. I don't know. They picked it up out of the sink and they still ate it because they were that poor. We have never been that poor, but we have certainly made bad money choices over the several years of our life together in terms of student loan debt and a bad car loan. But nothing catastrophic and nothing that we haven't bounced back from, and certainly nothing that we haven't really learned our lesson from and not repeated. So that is all, I would say, part of our past. Very focused on paying off debt, and we were ticking them off one at a time, paying off these debts at the same time that my career was advancing as well as his. And we had always said, if one of us, you remember from yesterday, if one of us was ever able to stay home because of the other's income, we would do that. And that's where we are today. And we are 3 short months into this new life. And I talked a little bit about it yesterday, just about how big of a transition it has been for us. And honestly, when I was talking about this yesterday, I was not talking about the financial aspects. Yesterday, I was really more alluding to the emotional transition for our kids and the change in routine and the new amount of time that we all have together that we didn't expect to have, which is meant and intended to be positive, but it's still just a hard adjustment. And so I was really more alluding to the relational and emotional, all of these other aspects of the transition. And then and today I just have these feelings about how hard it is to carry the weight of financially supporting your family. To be the sole provider has been a non-issue until today. And it's not even, okay, so it's not even that much of an issue. It's not like I lost my job or I had a reduction in pay or nothing actually happened. What happened was my life is very busy and I kind of ignored some emails that got into some details about our change in pay frequency. And so we went from being paid twice a month to every other week. And so that basically means that your salary is spread out over 26 pay periods instead of 24. And so you get a little bit less, right? Like, that's fine. It all shakes out in the end. And so if you do an annual budget and a quarterly budget and a monthly budget, which is what I do, it works out. And so, of course, this happens. These announcements start rolling out like a month after my husband stops working and it's a single income and we've crunched the numbers 86,000 ways just to be super, super, super sure. We went into like super saving mode right after we made this decision and before he stopped working and stopped having an income, because we knew like it's going to be that much harder to save aggressively. And so we squirreled all this money away, and then this payroll frequency change thing happened. Great. So I get into Excel, which is, you know, I mean, I do it for my job and I do it for my personal life and I love crunching numbers, which is just not something I ever thought I was going to ever say, but here I am. And I just do like the analysis, because also at this time is health insurance is changing and we're now contributing to a health savings account. And so all of these like tiny little tweaks to dollar amounts are changing. And I wanted a good representation of what my pay stub, what my take home would look like and how it shifted. And so I did this and I felt confident about my numbers, and I am very busy at work, which is no excuse, but that's what I'm telling myself today. And I didn't read these notices posted by HR in great detail. If I would have, I would have read that to make this transition in the number of pay periods, there's weird paychecks that are going to happen for a few weeks just to get to that point. And so you're not over or underpaid. It's just a shift. And so I missed that. Cool. Way to go, Chelsea. Kind of important, because what ended up happening is it's a shorter amount of work days that are going to be reflected in the next check. And then it levels out and your next check after that becomes the full amount, and that's your full bi-weekly check amount going forward. Except that this little stump check is not what I was budgeting for, not what I read in the notices, and therefore my budget is out of whack. And not out of whack in the sense that, oh my God, you're so poor, you can't pay your bills this month, but out of whack in a sense of like, okay, well, now I'm not paying that bill early, and this extra money was going to go towards my second son's second birthday party because there's, you know, food and whatever involved in that. And okay, so now you're not going to be able to save what you thought you were, and like all of this. And today was just that first experience of like the weight of the world, which is super dramatic, so dramatic, but also it can feel kind of accurate. And when your income is the only income your family sees, when your income is what puts food on the table, what keeps a roof over the head, what buys birthday gifts and party food and a cake for your child to celebrate being two, when your income is everything, everything that your life requires from a financial perspective being tied up in what you bring home, there is a pressure there. There is a stress there that I was just not ready for, that I just didn't think that I was going to feel as much stress as I do. And if something is out of whack, if I've miscalculated the budget for a week, if I have overspent or we've overspent in grocery, any little thing, just it ratchets up the nerves. And it's like this constant. It's not like this never-ending cloud over my head. I don't feel like in a constant state of anxiety. The feelings aren't always that strong, but I certainly feel its presence. And some days it's right in my face. And most days it's just in the background. It's just background noise, because I still feel like we made the best decision and that we knew that money was going to be tighter and that these things happen. And that is why you have a savings account. And I'm often reminded, either by myself or by others in our lives, that we are blessed and lucky and very fortunate to be at a place where A, one of us can stay home, that we're financially able to do that, but that also we have a savings account and we have a budget, and that there is flexibility within that budget. And by flexibility, I mean when I say I miscalculated this paycheck and how many days it was going to represent and this transition got lost on me, not only can I still pay our bills, but our budget includes gas in our cars. Our budget includes a generous grocery budget. Our budget includes dog food and diapers and toiletries and fun money and savings. And so it is not we are on our ass and can't pay our mortgage. And I have to remember, I have to keep that into perspective, because I know people, and I have been the people, that this type of screw up of miscalculating this transitional paycheck and not paying attention is far more devastating to a lot of people. And so I am not trying to be woe is me. All I am trying to communicate is that I underestimated the pressure and stress that comes with providing that paycheck for my family. And that bumps in the road can sometimes paralyze me for a couple of hours. And that's what happened today. Like, I met this conflict with just a shutdown, and I went up to the loft at my workplace and worked where people couldn't interrupt me, where, you know, I could be free to shed a couple tears because I don't have shame in crying. I just, like, some people are just really uncomfortable by people crying, and I just, like, I just needed time, and I worked through it, and certainly talking this through right now by recording this podcast has also kind of helped me shift my perspective, because it is not a matter of which bill gets paid and do the lights turn off, and we've come a long way in our life together, and this is so small. It's nothing. It's just rearranging the numbers, and it's different for a week, but it's not uncomfortable. And so talking this out has really helped me take a step back and acknowledge, you know, we knew that going to a single income, it just takes a lot of buffer out of the situation. And so if I step back and I explain a little bit more, we were on opposite shifts. And so we had a 3 to 4 hour overlap in our schedule, during which we had a nanny. And so we had part-time childcare, just 4 hours a day. And so a lot of people who make a stay-at-home parent decision are saving a lot more money because of full-time daycare, because of 2 9-to-5 jobs or whatever it may be. And so we were actually, we were losing income when he decided to stay home. When we decided for him to stay home, I shouldn't make it sound like, you know, this wasn't a mistake he made. And so it's a little bit different for us, where it's actually like we lost our buffer. Our cost of living is not more. We're still in our starter home 6 years later, and of course the cost of children has been added in the last 3.5 years, but by and large, we have not, with all of our raises over the last 5+ years, gone out and increased our expenses as a result. We have just been paying off debt, and quitting smoking, and me getting promoted several times in a short amount of time allowed us to make this move to him being a stay-at-home dad. And all of those things, they all go together, because had we not been aggressive about paying off the debt, we would have had so much more to pay monthly, and we just wouldn't have been able to swing it. And then cutting out smoking, me quitting smoking, freed up more money. But then he actually also quit about 5 or 6 weeks ago, so that freed up more. And so it's him not working just takes away the buffer. And so if this same situation that I just like panic walked you through happened a year ago, it would have been like big whoop, because we were getting paid every week, because our pays were basically opposite each other. And so it was like, okay, like sucks, but look at, like, we're fine. We also got into the habit of just kind of, like, spending a lot of money. So it was just easy for us to, for the first time, be like, oh, we've got disposable income. What a world. What a time to be alive. And so we're breaking those habits, too. And I am absolutely worse at it. And I don't feel like I'm entitled to spend more because I'm making the money. We are both working very full-time jobs. And make no mistake about it, I am under zero false ideas of what it is to be a stay-at-home parent. And he puts in more hours than I do, day in and day out. He does. He just doesn't have a paycheck that deposits into our bank account. But I am the spender, and it's a coffee here, a coffee there, or it's, God, I just dropped over $100 to register for the half marathon in October. And so it's a varying degree of what I might spend on. I'm not reckless. I'm not, you know, spending $1,000 on groceries or going on shopping sprees. I'm thrifty, but I also have just gotten into this habit of not worrying about, you know, budgeting to a fun money budget and sticking to it. And so I'm working on that. And all things considered, we can do this comfortably. A friend who is a stay-at-home mom said to me shortly after we were tossing this idea around, and I was like, oh, but, you know, I crunched the numbers and we can still, you know, have fun money and that's good because I don't want to feel deprived. And she was like, I just think you need to shift your perspective because it's no longer about having fun money. Now you've traded in fun money for family time. You've traded in fun money for seeing your husband every day, because remember, he was on second shift. And so I was asleep before he got home and I was gone before he woke up. And so we both had one-on-one time, one-on-two time with our kids, and it allowed us to save money on any sort of daycare, but we didn't see each other. We saw each other on Saturdays and Sundays, and that is wild. We didn't see each other Monday through Friday for the first 5 years of our marriage. You think about that. I always like, okay, so in the grand scheme of things, if it's, there's a military spouse or even worse, like that, we don't have it. We never had it hard to that degree, but it came with its challenges. And so now I wake up and I go to work every day and I very much enjoy my job, but I said yesterday and I, rings true. It will always ring true. I am easily stressed. I am easily rattled. Ironically, not easily stressed and not easily rattled in the professional sphere. I'm pretty sure I have two brains and two hearts and two of everything, because the way I behave professionally is just not the same as I do personally. And worlds collide, of course, right? Because it's like I'm having this personal reaction to our finances at work, and I had to remove myself from any sort of social interaction. So there's that. But today was just a crazy realization of the stress associated with being the working parent, being the sole working parent. I don't hold it against my husband. I don't regret this decision. I absolutely know that we will be just fine. I do, you know, I have to go back into my Google Doc and rearrange some things to iron it out and to just resolve it, but reconcile it. It's not the end of the world. It's just I caught a glimpse today of the stress that I didn't realize was always there, that I always have this undercurrent of the responsibility I've assigned to myself being the working parent. And I don't know. I don't know if this could be gendered. I don't know if this is specific to the woman, the mother being the working parent, or how this dynamic shakes out in the more traditional male working dad and female stay-at-home mom, or how this shift could even be if there are two dads or two moms. And I don't know. And maybe it's not gendered. Maybe it's very specific to the person and the family dynamic. But I understand. Okay, I don't understand. I cannot be a stay-at-home mom. It's not the way I'm wired. I'm incapable, and I know this. But just as I think he feels that pressure to be on all the time, to, if I'm going to be staying at home, if we're going to sacrifice dollars for our kids' experiences and their time to grow and develop and learn and be loved and exist in this enriched environment that we're giving them by staying home, then I better be on all the time. And if I slip up and screw up and they have a bad day or there are a lot of tears or it's a high stress day, then I have failed. And I know that he has I know that he has felt that. And I know that it has been full of its own pressures. They're just different. But it's almost like I've acknowledged the pressure he's under in his new role more than I've been able to acknowledge the pressure and the stress of my new role, because I was under the impression that my role was staying the same. And it is not the same, because there is, whether you ask for it or not, an added stress and pit of the stomach feeling at times about being the sole financial contributor. And so I have been so very tied up and focused and diligent about his feelings during this transition and what that has looked like. And I have lost sight of, not even lost sight of, because I didn't see it to begin with. I failed to realize from the get-go what was going to happen to me and my pressure situation and what the stress felt like as the only person within our family bringing home money. And so I don't know. I don't know if working dads feel this way. I don't know if other working moms with a stay-at-home dad at home feel this way. I don't know. I would love to know. I would love to better understand the dynamics between stay-at-home parents and working out of the home parents and the different stresses associated with both of those roles, because they are so different. And I think we forget to realize that the stress of your partner, just because it's different than yours, doesn't mean it's less valid. And I feel so strongly about my husband feeling validated in his new role. And I think, honestly, if I'm being completely transparent, I'm more careful because of the societal emasculation that can occur. And I've seen it, and he's not one to shy away from being a feminist and to really placing value in untraditional roles. But I have seen it kind of rear its head, and I think that that's just a result of years and years and years of a patriarchal society kind of driving our expectations of roles. And so I've seen it, and we both have to make a very active choice to like knock that down. And just, you can't let a decision you've made for your family and what's best for your family be called into question because of some outdated sexist idea and have you falter in your decision to be a stay-at-home dad. And so that's been happening. I just haven't at the same time really thought through my part in it, and it's wild because I don't think that I would have come to any of this realization. I don't feel like I would have settled on this idea of not paying enough attention and acknowledging that even though my job didn't change, my role as primary breadwinner has created more stress. I don't think I would have landed on any of that if I didn't talk this through, if I didn't have this very startling, if not dramatic, experience. Not traumatic, dramatic. I am very much acknowledging that I reacted dramatically. I'm acknowledging, but I'm not apologizing. My reaction is valid, and it's valid because it's my reaction. And that reaction led me to this realization, and for that, I am glad and proud and not in any way embarrassed or about to apologize for being dramatic. I wasn't dramatic to anybody else. I was dramatic to myself and kept it pretty well contained. But God, I just, what a wild, second episode. You might be listening like, all right, cool. Glad you, figured your own shit out. But if anybody out there is listening and has views or opinions or personal anecdotal contributions to one role or another, whether it be the more traditional, I don't want to say stereotypical because that's like this negative connotation, but the more traditional roles of a stay-at-home mom and a working out of the home dad, or even the flip. I often feel like we are alone in this journey. We are alone in having the mother full-time worker and the father stay-at-home. And I would just value so much thoughts and ideas and feelings and stories from anybody else who feels remotely like I do, or as I've described to my husband, which hopefully if he ever listens to my rambling, agrees with my assessment. I don't know. I tend to think of myself as pretty self-aware, but I can also be pretty off the mark when it comes to that man. So yes, that was my day. Of course, my plan, as I said in the beginning, was to tell you about my job and my career path and what I do now and how I got here and what my, you know, sights are set on next. And then this real life, real time experience happens and I walked out of that building more than 28 minutes ago, as I'm looking at my watch, and I just knew. I just knew that that was going to be the topic to discuss today. And I'm so thankful that I did. I'm so thankful that that was all-consuming this afternoon, so I was able to talk about it here. Because it was here that I was able to come to the realization that I have not given myself enough benefit of the doubt and enough transitional grace through what it is to shift from being a double income family to being the sole income provider, and how these little nuanced situations bring with them new stress and new pressure than if you were still double income, because it's all on you. Sounds dramatic, but also accurate. So thank you for commuting with me and listening as I broke this down and came to my own resolution and realization. So I'm just feeling like, I don't know, just feeling pretty warm and fuzzy about this here podcast and the evolution that is potential. Okay, that's all. I left work early and I am rolling home 34 minutes later. So I'm about to turn into my street, and this was 34 minutes very well spent. I hope the rest of you also have a wonderful, wonderful day. Until next time, bye.